Go on, sorry.
I'm Toy Wilcox, singer, actress, and I'm in Vampires Rock, which is on a nationwide tour. And I play the Devil Queen, which basically is the queen of Baron von Rockula. She's 2,000 years old, and he's been spending 1,999 years trying to get rid of her.
I'm Steve Steinman, and I'm the one trying to get rid of her. I play the Baron, and we also have Pandora in the show, Stringfellow, lots of other characters in the show. And it's basically just a blast through all the greatest rock anthems there are out there. And it's just a blast.
So whose idea was it to actually do the play?
It kind of come about from, I was doing another show called The Meatloaf Story, which was the music and life of Meatloaf and Bat Out of Hell, the album. And we were doing songs connected to Meatloaf in the show, all the rock songs that Meatloaf had been connected with. And we just thought it was a good idea to do some great classic rock anthems, and it'd be great to do it within a show. So instead of picking on one person, like ABBA picks on ABBA and Queen picks on Queen, Meatloaf, the story that picked on Meatloaf, we wanted to do all the great songs. So you've got Bon Jovi, AC/DC, you know, obviously Queen and Meatloaf, and we wanted to do them all in one show. And the idea come for Vampires just because of the visual element and the fun side of it, and we know people like to dress up. People are always fascinated with vampires. Vampires have been around forever, so is rock music, and they kind of went hand in hand, and that's how it came about, and that was 5 years ago.
It's a bit of a fantasy evening. It's a fantasy for the audience and a fantasy for us. And every song is an absolute classic. So you've got Bon Jovi, Billy Idol, Alice Cooper, Kiss. And the list is endless. It goes on and on and on. And the audience just kind of get whipped into a frenzy. It's rather nice because we always start the evening off with the audience sitting. And then by the end of Act 1, they're up on the feet. By the end of Act 2, they're actually louder than we are. And it's a beautiful build. And it really is a very feel-good show.
It's funny. There's a lot of comedy in there. Good British comedy, you know. It's not a massive script. It's not. We don't call it a musical. It's as far from a musical as you can get, really. It's kind of this new breed of musical in a way. But I don't know what you'd call it, really. We concentrate more on the music than a script. The in between is just a bit of fun and a very light storyline. You know, there's not really a massive story there. The songs tell the story. And that's kind of how we've done it. It came really when I went to watch some musicals and I got bored. There was too much talking and not enough action. I.U. Queens, We Will Rock You. I wanted more music. I wanted to hear the songs rather than these guys going on about, you know, they've lost this guitar and blah, blah, blah. And it went on and on and on. And I wanted to hear the songs. So I thought, well, we'll come up with a show that's more songs than talking.
So there's none of this. He's behind you.
Well, there's a little bit of that. There's a little bit of pantomime in there, but it's very quick. It's very quick. Any talking is probably down to about, what, 60 seconds, a minute, and then into a song.
No, come on. When you get going, there's a whole routine.
Yeah, well, that's... We do a comedy session where me and Mike, we talk to the audience. So that can be as long as it wants to be. It's a bit of a stand-up section, that, though, isn't it?
But the reason for me that it works as an outsider who's come in is that we set the song up in such a way that the song tells the story. So you don't need that much dialogue. So when I'm meeting the young girl, Emily Clark, who's going to possibly have an affair with my husband, I tell her to bog off, basically, through the song Schools Out. And it puts a whole new slant and meaning onto the song that we've placed it in this situation. So there is very little dialogue, but the songs are even more powerful because the lyrics are telling the story.
The wedding scene is Billy Idol's White Wedding. The love scene's Total Eclipse of the Heart. So the songs are in order of, really, the way the story goes. You couldn't move the songs around, because it would mess the story up. So you have to really listen. And at the end, it's Bat Out of Hell, you know.
And the audience, they just burst out laughing, because I come on, for instance, and do Schools Out. Well, they've been waiting for that song, because we use little lines of it before my entrance. So they know it's coming, and they get so excited by it. And Bat Out of Hell gets a huge reaction, because the line is from Stringfellow, one of the characters, run Pandora like a bat out of hell, and then the audience are up on their feet, because it just presents it so brilliantly.
Does, yeah. Very quick, very funny.
Does that I do anything for you? The song.
For Meatloaf. No, we don't do that.
No,
we don't do it. Because I do another show called Back the Symphony.
Yeah.
So we've got Bat Out of Hell and Dead Ringer for Love in there, haven't we?
Yeah.
I think that's the two Meatloafs. Mm. So we try and make it so we don't do more than two songs of any one person, because you know there's so many songs to fit in there really. That's it. Anything for love. You could go on and on with songs though. I mean, and that's the good thing about the show is every year we can change songs. When a lot of shows they have to stick with the same songs they've chosen the originals from when they start. People can come back every year and they know there's going to be different song changes. Which that's why it keeps it fresh.
Is there friction between the two of you off stage whilst you're doing it?
Oh,
we hate each other. Yes, I hate her.
Yeah.
We're not going to be truthful there, are we? The whole team is very,
yeah,
very
we've
close.
Got a great team.
It's a really good team.
You don't keep the acting going up like
oh, God,
this.
No.
Yeah, you aren't method actors, though.
We don't keep the acting going on stage. we're laughing our head off most nights.
It's kind of like on stage. It's really like what we're like in real life, in a way, you know. So it's just good fun, and it's as long as the music's done correct. It's like the audience allow you to be funny and do daft things, but then the music has to be right, or else they'd nail you. They wouldn't let you live, because if you're playing a song and it's their favourite song. You have to do it right. If you mess about doing the song, you're in trouble.
I think that's why the quality of the show is so amazing, is that the music is mind-blowing. The band's great, the singers, we're all really good at what we do. And we are reverential towards the music. It's what goes on in between that is kind of...
It's a fantastic cast. What you've got is you've got so many talented people. That's the... When you often go to a show and you'll say... That one, oh, I like that person, they did well, and the others, I didn't think. You've got so many good people, really, really are good people, and how we can keep it up, I don't know. Band and the singers and the quality, they're incredible.
I come from a background, I'm from Birmingham in the Midlands, where there was an awful lot of rock theatre. You had it with the beginning of Slade and the beginning of Mott the Hoople and stuff like that. And this reminds me of that 70s genre of rock theatre, where you look at people who are so closely linked, they have an ESP between them, that they're instinctively performed together brilliantly, but at the same time the audience is part of that performance. And I've never seen it work other than in this production. And I think it's because our eye contact is constant between all of us. It's not like a West End musical where you can tell they don't talk to each other off stage, they don't know each other off stage. Here, everyone is closely linked.
We're a band in the old sense. In the old sense, we all travel together, we're all in it together, we all want it to work. Nobody's taking a free ride, you know, even the crew. They're all in it together and they all want it to be successful, and I think that's the difference. And if you're in the West End and somebody was writing you a cheque every month and you really had no input, I mean, if Toya's got something to say, hey, that'd be good fun if we did this, we can do it. You know, I'm not Andrew Lloyd Webber. If I think it's funny, we'll do it, you know, or if I think it's a good idea, we'll do it. So everybody's got an input in the show. Toya with a costume, she came to me and said, would you mind if I'd got a costume designer, and she'd done her own costume. I said, they look fantastic, yeah, definitely. Rather than me saying, no, you must wear this, you must wear that, because the one thing about when you're performing, you've got to be comfortable in your costume, you've got to be able to perform. And if somebody sticks you in something you don't like, you ain't going to perform. So it's like a band, really, that's made it big, in a sense, in theatre, where if you were a band, you were playing in local bars and you're having this good fun. It's kind of got that atmosphere with us on stage. And that comes across into the audience as well. They see us having good fun, and then they have good fun. If they thought we were miserable, they wouldn't have a good time. So that's how I see it.
Overall, if you had to sum up the entire show, how would you do it?
You're better at this than me.
I did come up with something, didn't I? Like,
you did something quite funny, yeah, I can't remember. Somebody asked you this once before, didn't you?
Yeah.
Well, you know, well, to me...
It's music with teeth.
It's music with teeth. It's bombastic. It's funny. It's big. And it's just enjoyable. It's just fun. It does what it says on the tin. It's not trying to be anything else. It is what it is, and we're not trying to be Andrew Lloyd Webber. We're out there for fun, and if you come and you don't want fun, it's not the show for you. You've really got to be involved.
Have you ever had any of your pop artists or rock artists that you've actually got in the play? Has any of them ever been to the show?
Well, obviously Eddie Ojeda. We played some of Twisted Sister stuff. Eddie Ojeda was in the show last year, so obviously he's been in the show. Let's have a think. Paul Crook.
I've got people coming to London.
Yeah, Paul Crook, Meatloaf. He plays with Meatloaf. Meatloaf didn't come, but Paul
Brian
Crook,
May.
Brian May. He came 2 years ago. So that's about it, really. Yeah, but it's growing. I think once we, you know what it is, once we hit London and we'd start, we're doing London there for a week next year. I think once we put our toe in the water there, if it's successful, then it's going to be funny doing London. I'm unsure what's going to happen in London.
It's an interesting one because Steve always plays to his fan base and he has a very large fan base. But in London, I think it will be a completely new audience, which is a challenge because of the comedy.
I think we'll do it. We'll win them because they won't know what to expect. Where obviously when you're playing to people, they know exactly what they're going to get. And it makes us comfortable. So it's kind of taken us out of our comfort zone in a way. Because I've been touring the theatres for 10 years, building up a reputation around the country and all the theatres. So I've gone in with the new show and they've come to the new show, which is great. So they know what I'm like, they know I'm going to mess about, they know I have some fun. And so going to London will be a brand new audience. And will it be a Stickler audience?
So you're nervous?
I'm apprehensive. I know I'll be able to do it because everybody has a laugh, everybody wants fun, don't they? So there's no reason why we can't. It's getting over that first hurdle of them realising what we are doing. Because everybody goes with a different conception of what they're about to see until the end of the night. Then they realise what it was. But they'll go, they'll see the poster, they'll think that looks like a great musical, and actually it's not what they think it's going to be. So you've got, it takes you 3, maybe 4 songs, doesn't it, I think?
It has a cult following, and if it could be associated to anything, it's how the Rocky Horror took off in the mid-70s, where people went along because it became a community. And this has a similar thing, that the audiences that do come again and again come because they're completely hooked.
They do come lots of times, 15, 20 times people come within one tour. It's amazing. And we've seen people, we'll do one place one night and then we'll drive 150 miles to the next show and they'll be there again. And then they'll be there at the next one. I mean, it's crackers.
It's fun.
Well, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And good luck with your show.
Thank you.
Cool.